Welcome to Who's Talking? Well, the Playmakers' newest production, an upcoming production, is called Seminar, and it's a play about four young writers who sign up for a private class taught by a renowned novelist and editor. I want to learn more because I'm really interested in this topic, and so we've invited Michael Dove, who's here in Chapel Hill, to direct that production, and his star, our old friend Ray Dooley, who will play the role of Leonard, the leader of the seminar. And Ray, we're going to talk about Leonard a little bit, but before you turn into Leonard on us, tell us about Michael Hose, who's your director.
Well, I'm delighted to, DG, and it's great to be back.
Michael Dove has
come to us from Washington, D.C., where he is the artistic director of the Forum Theater, a very well-respected theater in the Washington, D.C. area. And we're fortunate to have Michael with us. And the way he came to us is that when Joe Hodge, who is, of course, our former producing artistic director now at the Guthrie Theater, when Joe went to Washington to direct Hamlet 4 or 5 years ago, Michael was his assistant director. And as Joe would always like to say, any good idea that came in the room came from Michael. And Joe would say that if he were here.
We missed having him on the show. But
indeed.
Completely not true. But yeah.
Well, we are so fortunate. Michael has taken us through an truly extraordinary rehearsal process. And I'm particularly happy about that because four of our early career professionals in our professional actor training program are in the show with me, and they have had the benefit of an excellent and imaginative and compelling rehearsal process with Michael.
So, well, tell us about Michael's upbringing, in both in education and in the theater, or make him tell us something.
I think I'm going to pass this over to Michael Dove, our director.
You don't have my life story memorized yet.
But I mean, Ray told us that you're based in Washington mm-hmm. now. Is that where you grew up?
I grew up in Stanton, Virginia. So I guess 3 hours south. So probably absolute middle in between D.C. and here. So and actually, I've spent a lot of time in North Carolina growing up. But so yeah, it's wonderful to be here, and it feels like Virginia. It feels like home.
But you didn't come. You stayed in Virginia to go to college, and
I went to James Madison University in Virginia. Yeah, yeah, very close to where I grew up, and moved to D.C. in 2003. So right after school. So yeah, I've been in D.C. ever since then.
And in the theater.
Yeah.
Are you an actor and a director and a business?
Failed actor, probably.
Really?
Is a better way of. No, I started out as an actor, but for me that was more of just a way of getting into the industry. I actually discovered pretty early on that I liked rehearsing, but I didn't like performing. And so someone mentioned maybe you should try directing if that's the part of the process you enjoy the most. Yeah.
Tell us about why you like this play.
Yeah.
Seminar well enough to direct it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's easy. I think it's, oh, gosh, I could start anywhere. I mean, it's the smartest play. It's just, we'll talk. Teresa Rebeck is just a brilliant writer.
All right, now, I'm so sorry to interrupt you again, but you're the one who mentioned her. And
sure.
Let's get off track for a minute and talk about the playwright for a minute.
Yeah, absolutely. Teresa Rebeck is a widely produced playwright all around the country and one of the most successful Broadway playwrights in recent years. Several of her productions, including Seminar, premiered on Broadway. But she also has a career as a television writer, and so people may know her from her work on Law and Order, and she developed a show called Smash a couple years ago, which was a sort of behind-the-scenes take on a theater production being put together. NYPD Blue, so a lot of these, you can hear some of that quick, snappy television writing in her work, even in theater.
She's written a couple of novels, too.
Yeah.
She's a fiction writer. Michael, almost unbelievable what production of her. She goes home and writes a play and then
extremely prolific. Yeah. And you can see that in all of her work. You know, I've seen several of her productions and just in preparing for this, I read some of her fiction work and her novel work. And it all feels so true to her voice. And I think that is both her voice and her ability to create such distinct voices for her characters, which is such a hallmark of a great writer. I mean, you can read any of her plays and not even have to look at the character names, and you know who they are. I think she's really quite brilliant.
Well, now back on track. Tell us about Seminar, the play that she wrote that you're directing.
Yeah. So as you said, it's about four young writers, four young fiction novelists or aspiring novelists who have brought in this world-renowned editor and journalist, Leonard, to teach them essentially to come and critique their work and do a very in-depth seminar in writing. And Leonard has some repute as being very honest and very harsh at times, some brutality with his critiques. But they know that he's not only highly skilled in being able to critique their work, but very well connected. And so there's a lot of pressure for these writers to bring this guy in and really have him take a look at their work.
Is Leonard a great writer himself?
Well, there's a lot of discussion about that, and you know, I guess we'll be careful not to get into some spoiler alerts. But he certainly was known as a novelist early in his career, and then stepped away from that. And there are some questions as to why that was. But certainly, he's heading off to Africa. He's heading off to the Middle East and writing these sort of very brutal journalistic pieces that are of great renown too. And so certainly, that his career has shifted into being a writer in those regards and nonfiction.
Is he an editor or?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
And how does he do both? You know, you think of someone who's an active writer doesn't have time.
Mm-hmm.
But he does. Sometimes.
Yeah,
talk about his role as an editor.
Sure. I mean, I think, you know, this isn't necessarily in the script, but I think just from a conjecture standpoint, I think that I think it sort of speaks to his level. In his career, where he's able to sort of choose his career and choose the things he wants to do. It's hinted that he's at a major publishing house like Random House is where he's doing his editing. And I don't know, Ray, if you have thoughts on this, but I would sort of assume that he gets to choose the projects he wants to work on. And
yes, probably the authors request him at this point. And then he goes away for a couple of weeks. He'll go to, at one point in the play, he goes to Somalia for 2 weeks and then would come back and write based on what has happened
on what he's done.
Well, he's seen.
If you join us late, we're talking about the Playmakers play Seminar, and we're talking about the seminar participants. Michael Dove has told us a little bit about the leader of the seminar, and that's played by Ray Dooley, and we'll be hearing more about him in a minute. But there are four other characters.
Yeah.
And can you tell us a little bit about the others or about the other characters, Leonard's students?
Yeah, yeah. So you have this character, Kate, who is actually hosting the seminar at her apartment. So most of the play takes place in her living room. And she is certainly of a she draws inspiration from Jane Austen, sort of much older literary work. And she has this fabulous apartment in Upper West Side where they sort of host.
So she's wealthy for some other reason.
Probably, yes. Yes.
We don't know.
There's
sure
a lot of discussion of rent control and but a nine-room apartment. With a view of the river.
And
so
no man involved, no sugar daddy or anything?
No, not that we know of. No, I think it all
so
comes from
just
her parents.
A question. I mean, that's no spoiler alert. We're
sure,
not gonna
sure.
Learn, we're not going to learn about that. But she's wealthy in the sense that she's got a great place to live in New York.
Yeah, and old money. It's the house she's has been got, in the family for quite a while.
So she's independently, she doesn't have to write to make money. She wants to write to make a name for herself.
Yes.
And have a. And has she been successful so far?
Not yet. She's a fairly recent college graduate and has been working on a story, which we find out pretty early on. She's been working on this one story for several years.
Well, I don't know the answer to this question, but but typically when there's an old egomaniac teacher and a young thing, there's some extra tension.
I would say so, yes.
So we might have some of that.
I can almost guarantee that, yes.
What is her name?
This is Kate.
Kate, okay.
Right. And Kate has a high school friend, Martin, who does not come from such a privileged background, who is also an aspiring novelist. And has much fewer means financially, but as well as connections.
Now, are they connected in a girlfriend boyfriend?
They are not.
They're
just old
friends.
Yep.
Old friends
But tensions may exist there as well.
In school together?
High school friends, yeah.
High school friends, even though she came from wealthy family, uh-huh. He came from maybe a more struggling economic, they wound up in the same high school.
Right, so both from New York.
And he, maybe the interest in writing was something that was a part of their friendship.
Yeah, I think that's probably true and something that has sustained that friendship.
Well, tell us a little, I like the name. Tell us a little more about Martin.
Yeah, so Martin is extremely passionate about his work, and I think that, you know, what we discover really early on is that he's extremely guarded about his work. I think that there's a real fear, especially once this seminar begins. This is by no means a spoiler, but it's a very brutal seminar for these writers. And I think very early on, he starts putting up shields and protections for himself to protect himself from that criticism. I think he holds his work very precious, and he's very private about his work. But it certainly fuels him.
How can you have a seminar to improve your work if you're not willing to share it?
That is a central question of the play.
But he comes up with the $5,000 to get in this seminar. Is it a spoiler to find out how he got that money?
It never says specifically how he got that money, but he is being kicked out of his apartment, and he's really struggling. I think it was all the money he could put together and probably skipped a few meals and certainly skipped out on some rent because of it.
Is Martin a likable sort of guy?
Absolutely. I mean, he really has soul of a poet, soul of an artist, and I think we immediately connect to him as this struggling character who's doing everything he can to make it in this career that he cares about.
So we met Kate, who's the sort of hostess. The seminar is in her lovely apartment. Mm-hmm. Her friend Martin is struggling in lots of different ways. And tell us,
There are two others, yeah. So there's Douglas, who—and none of the characters have last names. I'm putting together right now. So Douglas is the nephew of a famous playwright, an unnamed famous playwright from Harvard. And Douglas has had everything he needs to get his career started. In fact, he's by far the most successful so far. He's already had a few pieces published.
So he had doors open because of his uncle.
Absolutely.
He would have the connections to the editors, to the agents, mm-hmm. and to the publishers mm-hmm. that most struggling writers or new writers would have only if they're very lucky, I guess.
Right, which, again, is a real point of tension between he and Martin.
And is he a good writer, though?
He is a good writer. And he's been published, and he has a piece that's being in consideration to be published in New Yorker. He has had a piece published in Tin House Literary Magazine already. His career is going. And so I think he very much views this seminar as I'm going to come in and get my work, just you know, some fine tweaking, some final little bits of notes. But I'm feeling pretty good about where I'm heading with things.
And so he would be in a position, maybe the best or the strongest position to challenge the teacher based on his his idea that he's already successful and he won't. I understand this. I'm sorry. I'm just myself into this. He'd like the coaching, but he doesn't want too much interference because he already knows.
I think that's probably true. Yeah. I think there's a real sense of I'm making it. I'm on the path. I know, like you said, I know the editors I need to know. And I need to make a couple little adjustments to this. I just need some fine tuning before this thing heads off and gets published to the New Yorker.
You have one more.
And then there's Izzy.
Is he a boy or a girl?
Izzy is a girl. We never learned her real. Maybe it's Isadora. Maybe it's Isabella. So Izzy, what we know about her is that she still lives with her parents. Probably not as lower class as Martin, but still living at home. And Izzy is, how should we say, driven from a different place.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Ray, do you want to help me out with that?
Well, she's we might call her a party girl. We might call her the other characters mentioned that she is hot. She is and not afraid to show it. Mm-hmm. and is her literary ambitions have to do with writing genre novels from the essentially from the 1940s and 50s, as she calls them, drug whore books.
Say that again.
Drug whore.
Drug whore books, and yes. Set in the 40s and 50s, or is that what? Is that,
well, she's taking like, that as the, like the model. Remember those old novels right. with the yeah. the kind of. Woman holding the – almost film noir novels, if you will. They seem to be that kind of thing. And her ambition, as she says, is to write one of these books, have it celebrated, get her picture taken and pose for the cover and then be photographed and interviewed in New York Magazine. That's
what she wants. More than publishing her work, she wants to be known as somebody who people are interested in.
Exactly.
A celebrity writer.
A celebrity writer.
And you mentioned that she's a party girl. She thinks that would enhance her status. Is that where she's going, that she wants to be able to choose her boyfriends rather than
– Right. She gets around. She's – is very upfront about it. And for that reason, I think we like her in that, because she's very forthright about what she wants.
We mentioned earlier that there might be some tension arising from the interest that Leonard, the seminar leader, might have in Kate, the host.
Yes.
And is there a similar something maybe going on with Izzy too?
There might just be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Michael Duff, for introducing us to your cast. And we're going to take a break, and maybe you can introduce Ray as Leonard to do a few scenes from the
film. Oh, I'd love to, yeah.
If you joined us late, we're visiting with Ray Dooley, who's the lead actor in the Playmakers production of Seminar, and his director, Michael Duff. We'll be right back after this short break. Well, welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. We're visiting with our friend Ray Dooley, who's taken the lead role of Leonard in the Playmakers production of Seminar. And he's brought us and introduced us to Michael Duff, who is directing the play. Michael, what I'd love for you to do is tell us a little bit more about Seminar and maybe persuade Ray to, as Leonard, to give us a few lines from the play so we can get an idea about who this Leonard, the great writer, teacher of this writing seminar, who that person is.
Sure, I'd love to. Yeah, so, you know, our play opens with these four young writers getting together the night before, or the night of their first seminar class. And so they have some time to get to know each other a little bit before Leonard arrives. And you really start to see them feeling each other out and figuring out, you know, who is this person going to be? Are they a rival? Are they going to help me in my career? It's really, you know, it's like circling dogs trying to figure out exactly what's the lay of the land here. But also there's this great fear of what this teacher coming in is going to say about their work and who's going to present their work.
Have they already given him some work to look at beforehand?
So they have to submit through a teacher, he says. So a teacher of theirs has to essentially recommend that they can come into this class, that Leonard takes them on as students. And as we said earlier, it's a very expensive class. It's $5,000 per student for 10 sessions. And he's been doing this class for a while. It's sort of a way of a part of his income. And so there's a high pressure situation just to get in. And so he has read their work that has been submitted by their teachers, and then we'll choose the four writers at a time who he wants to work with. And so this is the beginning of one of these sessions, and these four writers, again, Kate and Martin knew each other, and the others knew of each other or met at parties, but are really getting to know one another. And you can see some of the seeds of tension start to come to the surface as they really kind of get to know each other. And so they come into this class, and the idea is that they will sit down and they will present their work one at a time, and Leonard will read the pieces in real time. Maybe it wasn't the piece that they submitted, but he will sit there, and that's actually one of the sort of great conventions of the play, is watching him quickly read these pieces and then quickly assess.
Read them out loud, or does he read them to himself?
To himself, to himself, which is great tension, right? Where you're sitting here, what does he think of my work? What is he? Yeah. So those are really sort of fun, delicious moments. And so the idea is that in real time, he will read your piece and then immediately sort of critique your work. And I think that, you know, the what what also comes to the surface pretty quickly is this idea that your work also means yourself, that if you are speaking truthfully as an artist and you're writing from your own voice, that what you write can, the criticism for what you write can also be taken as criticism for who you are as an individual, which I think is a fascinating sort of concept to play with in this production.
Well, that's interesting to me. So the idea is you want to write what's real, what you really feel, and but when you do that, when you do what you're supposed to do, you open yourself to a whole new way to be criticized, not just for your work. Your work's fine; it reflects you, but you're just a mess.
Yeah,
I mean, is that a risk that
absolutely
students take?
Well, you know, there's that phrase, like, put yourself into your work, right? And so write from what you know, all of these sort of cliches that have borne out to be true over time, for sure. And so, yeah, there's this pressure to write from what you know, to really speak truthfully, put your voice in the piece. But yeah, what that does is that piece then turns into a part of you. And this sort of precious thing that you then have to put under a microscope and let someone dissect in front of you. So that just really ramps up sort of the stakes of what's happening in this class.
All right, now, Leonard is now joins them and reacts to, is he reacting to them, giving them a talk about what they're going to be doing? Does he come in as a colleague, or does he come in riding on a big horse, you know, to say, don't get too close to me?
Sure. I mean, many of the scenes have Leonard walking in and going, okay, what are we working on? So it's a very sort of immediate, there's no sort of fat on the bones by any means. It's a very sort of clinical type of class. There's no camaraderie. There's no discussion. It's what's the work? Let's talk about the work. And so his first class, he comes in, and Kate, who's hosting the class, is the her work is being critiqued first. And our first scene we have with Leonard essentially is him giving some context as to what the world is like, what the world will be like for them as writers, and how it relates to their work.
You got to understand, this is a totally irrelevant dream state you're hibernating in up here. It's irrelevant. I mean, I was just in Moldova doing research for this thing, and I ate cabbage with a Chechenian psychopath. Then I'm in Dubai with this bunch of Shiites and Sunnis, people wanting to kill each other. I almost got into a fist fight with a Russian prostitute of a totally indeterminate gender. Don't get me started on that story. Anyway, the fact is I was stoned out of my mind. I mean, it was messed up, all of it, but it was relevant. The world we live in, it no longer exists. Last year, I was in Rwanda. I was hanging out with this guy. He's a genocide survivor. His arms are gone, chopped off. He can't do anything anymore except beg for whatever pittance some UN peacekeeper throws him every other day, half a bowl of rice. I mean, the rest of the time he just lies in the mud unless somebody like me comes along and helps him get drunk. So I spend like 3 hours with this guy, listening to him tell his story. And finally, he gets really quiet, and he says, listen, man, I got HIV. I'm going to die. And I'm like, forget it. I mean, I'm overwhelmed. I go, I mean, why are you telling me all this? Why am I the receptacle of this amazing story, man? And he says, because you are a writer. You must write this. It must be told.
Well, now, if you did tune in late, Ray Dooley, as the character Leonard in the Playmakers of Play seminar, is opening the seminar. And Michael, what's this supposed to do to the students and to the audience?
Well, you know, when I watch the piece, my mind goes back to classes I took in university, and you know, that first class is usually, hi, I'm so and so, I'll be your professor. Here's the syllabus, and you know, we ease into this class, And essentially, this guy comes in, and this is pretty close to the beginning of his of this class. And this is the message they get. I think it just completely bowls them over. You know, I should also say at this point, we're, you know, half an hour into this discussion, but it's also a comedy. It's a very funny play.
So in one respect, this very serious talk, as an audience member, I'm supposed to be, oh, this is so staged, this is so out of anything you think of that I'm supposed to be laughing at this.
Not necessarily. I think that, you know, what's really beautiful about the writing is that I think you never realize it's a comedy, but realize that you've been laughing the whole time. Mm-hmm. Or if you come in thinking it's a comedy, you're laughing at all the jokes and then realizing later sort of the emotional impact. So it just works on so many different levels, which I think is really beautiful about it. But it's not a setup punchline type of joke type of writing. It really comes out of situation. It really comes out of characters and these very sort of tense, awkward moments where everyone is putting everything on the line. And so, I think there is a certain amount of comedy, not necessarily in what he's saying, but the comedy of what do we do with this writer who's so on point and completely brutal and realistic about what our work is. We really just wanted him to come in and say, you should change these words and maybe thinking about leading your next chapter with this passage. You know, I think they come in with these assumptions that they've been used to in their collegiate life.
And is it Leonard's objective to, not as you say, not just to be an editor and critique a few words and give some happy encouragement, but to reorder these people's lives so they can really function as a writer? Does he have that as the goal of his seminar?
Yeah, I mean, certainly it's using the work as the vehicle for that and in the critique of the writing itself. But I think there's a real conversation in this piece, which is one of the reasons it's so exciting to do in this area, right? Like it really talks about the role of an educator and the role of different methods of teaching. And this play really talks about that method of teaching that is the tear you down to build you back up school of instruction. And that certainly is, Ray could speak to this a bit more, but that's certainly his mentality is this idea of really strip everything away, break you down to sort of your base elements so that you can recreate yourself as a better artist.
Well, we're visiting with Michael Dove, the director of the Playmakers production seminar and the star of that production. Ray Dooley is Leonard, and we'll be right back after this short break. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. I'm visiting with Ray Dooley, who's got the lead role in the Playmakers' current production of Seminar, and he brought along his director, Michael Dove. And Michael, I've been privileged to hear a really nice introduction to the play from your and Ray's conversation and also from a scene that Ray did. And I wonder if I can persuade you to tell us a little bit more about the play and maybe get Ray to get back in Leonard's costume again and give us another.
Yeah. So, you know, the play continues with these different seminars, these different classes. And so at each of these classes, a different one of the four students presents their work.
So we go through, there'll be a class, they'll break up.
And the, you know, the structure is always we get to see them after the class. And so
they
Leonard will leave.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, as he eviscerates each one of their pieces of writing one after one, you know, they really start to, the animosity they have for him really starts to grow. And so they have this chance to really vent that with one another about what he's doing to them and what he's doing to their careers, as well as what's happening in their sort of interpersonal lives as, you know, relationships sort of develop and change between one another. And so he goes through, so we get to see his critique of all of their work. And then later in the play, we finally get to Martin, who's been very reluctant to show his work and has been very critical of Leonard, not just as a teacher, but as a human being. And there's a lot of questions raised to sort of the ethics of this man and the way that he instructs. And so he's been very reluctant to show his work. And then eventually he does show his work. And really turns on Leonard It becomes very personal between the two of them. And not only does he accuse him of certain things, but he really attacks him. And so,
and this is before Leonard reacts to Martin's work.
He's just started to look at it, and I won't sort of say what he feels about it. For various reasons, Martin becomes very offended, and all these things that have been bottling up inside of him and his feelings about Leonard, he really makes known in this moment. And so, he's just attacked Leonard, and so we have Ray perform a piece from sort of his response to that attack.
So he's already critiqued the work. He's then been attacked by Martin,
mm-hmm.
and now Ray's going to respond to Martin's attack.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a confrontational moment.
Yeah, and absolutely. And speaking to not only his work, but he is a character. He is a person.
Yeah. Okay. You obviously never spoke back to your own father, so you really needed to get that off your chest. And I'm glad to give you the opportunity. Feels good, doesn't it? Spewing the truth. The truth is one of the few remaining reasons for getting out of bed in the morning. It's not for everyone. Some people are so crippled they can't stand the truth. But for those of us who partake, nothing else really comes close. But you know what? All those people who can't stand the truth, they're going to be a problem for you. This is why. You're a nobody. Who are your parents? Nobody. Who are your connections? Nobody. Where'd you go to school? It isn't Harvard, Princeton, or Yale, so wherever you went, it doesn't matter. You're no Douglas, Martin. You're a talented nobody. Everybody's going to hate you. Oh, you'll get this published, and it'll get some attention. But not what it should. And then you'll write a second novel, and it will mess up your brain like nothing you've ever experienced. It will be the worst 3 years of your life writing that second novel. You'll feel like you're in the ninth circle of hell, where the betrayers of Christ are frozen in eternal cannibalistic silence. Only it's not flesh you're consuming. It's your mind.
Ooh, wow. That's a hard thing to take. And it just, the writers who come to see this play are going to say, oh, my God. He caught me. I got my first novel out, but I could never write the second. And it's more than that, though. What have I missed, Michael?
Yeah, I think that it's, sort of speaking to that notion of when you put your work out there, you're putting yourself out there. And so there's this tension in the play, this back and forth about sometimes it's not just the quality of your work. We've heard these stories all the time from the entertainment industry and art that sometimes it's not just how good you are, but it's who you know, and sort of that foundation you have as an individual, which is sometimes just a reality. I certainly don't think that in this passage that Leonard, starting to mix now into one person, that Leonard is arguing that that is a right and that that is a good thing in the world, but that is a reality. And so he's just being brutally honest with him.
Well, it sounded to me that there was more to it than that, Leonard was reveling in saying, to this person who'd confronted him, okay, you may have a little bit of talent, but you're really not going anywhere, and I'm glad. I mean, it was a mean-spirited sort of statement of reality that might have even exaggerated it.
Well, I think that and not just, the writers are putting themselves on the line, but what we start to learn is that Leonard is putting himself on the line as well, and that the more and more we learn about him and learn about his life, we start to realize that he went through some very similar struggles that these characters are going through, and so it does become very personal. It is very personal to him, maybe in ways that he doesn't even want to admit.
Well, I got one positive thing that Leonard was saying in a very snide way, but it was he said, "This work may be published."
Right.
Which is to me, wow. Yeah. This extraordinary person whom I hate, but nevertheless, he knows what he's talking about, and he's saying that my work is going to be published. Mm-hmm. I mean,
that's true. Leonard recognizes in Martin something of value, but still instructs him on the realities of the world and how the world works, which is part of the purpose of the seminar. And Leonard goes on in that speech to paint an even deeper and broader and in some ways more alarming picture of what is lying in store for Martin.
For this writer.
And then that's where we then enter into the very final phase of the play, where that seeming stalemate between the two of them is addressed.
Well, if you join us late, we're visiting with Ray Dooley, who's got the role of Leonard, the seminar leader in the production seminar. And we also have his director, Michael Dove, and the three of us will be right back after this short break. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. We're visiting with Michael Dove, who's the director of the Playmakers production of Seminar, and the lead actor, our friend Ray Dooley, who's playing the role of Leonard. And guys, thanks so much for giving us a preview for the play. This has got to have been an extraordinary experience to get ready for this play. And what has it been a transformative experience for either of you in any way, or is this just one more play to put in your pocket?
I think for me, it's really just been wonderful. It's been just an absolute pleasure to work with this quality of actors and this cast. But to come into this atmosphere of, you know, we have this play that's about four students and their instructor, and to get to come into this situation where we have these four actors who are part of this program at Playmakers with Ray, who is one of their professors. And so that dynamic has just been really rich and exciting. And to just be here in this community, the community that supports the theater so well, to get to go to discussions every night and talk to people who are really engaged and who really care about the work, and like you, sort of the passion for the work, it's been a vacation of
a
job.
But you're avoiding the question. Are you a changed person from...
Oh my gosh, yes. I mean, I think that the way that this play talks about identity and the way that this play talks about who you are as an artist, I can't help but put myself into that as well, and constantly, you know, in my head thinking about that as an individual. And I think I've learned quite a bit about myself in just the, you know, 3 or 4 weeks I've been here about what was the art that I care about, and how do we put that out into the world.
Are you different because you've been Leonard for a while, Ray Dooley?
Well, yeah. His standards are very high. That's the good side of him. They're partly very high because of what has happened to him in his personal life, and we learn a good deal about that in the play. But it is a reminder of the need for high standards in art, of quality in what you write, in truth, in writing your own individual truth, and the profound. It's a joy, but it's more than that. It's a profound joy, and it's something that I've taken in my own work as an actor. And in this particular case, as Michael was saying, to have four of my students doing such beautiful work alongside of me on stage it just doesn't get any better than
it's
that.
It's great for a teacher to have his or her students success, and then to do
right.
it together
yeah.
must be fun. But one more question, Ray. Leonard, at the end of all of this, do you wind up liking Leonard, and if you do, why?
Yes, I think we do. And we, in the closing parts of the play, we come to understand why he is the way he is and what he lives with and why what has happened to him. And we also find out that, in fact, he has been careful to take care of these people going forward. He's treated them very roughly, but then he takes care of them.
Well.
And there was a famous stage director named John Dexter, who was noted for being the most brutal and the most brilliant. He directed the original production of Equus, and the the book that was written about him was called The Honorable Beast.
The Honorable Beast. Well, we will find out. I guess we have to stop right in the middle of this wonderful conversation, but we'll come and see you at work. And thanks to Michael Dove for helping bring this production to us. We'll be there with the Playmakers production of a seminar with Ray Dooley as Leonard. And back there on the back row will be Michael Dove as the director. Thanks to you, thanks to them, and thanks to you all for listening. This is D.G. Martin, who's talking. I'll be back here before you know it.